My name is Ruth Bissling, and I'm interviewing my father, Robert Myring, from Carleton, Michigan.
My dad, who was born in 1880, lived just west of Toledo on Central Avenue, which is now known as Old Orchard Subdivision, or Westgate Shopping Center, and the Westgate Theater is in that shopping center. He came from a large family of 11 children, which he was the youngest boy. He had one sister younger. His dad died when he was 3 years old. With a large family, they all had to help the home to survive. Later, when he got married, his mother divided the farm into parcels for each one of the boys. His received about 13 acres, which a small parcel of land he had to truck garden. Everything was done the hard way at that time by hand. Then he got married, and my sister was born in 1910, and I was born in 1916. Back in those days, many people, women, did not go to the hospital for their children. Sometimes some of the doctors came to the house, but many a time they had what they called a midwife. It was a lady that would go and help with the birth and stay about 2 weeks and then move on to someone else. I can remember back when we had horse and buggy, and my mom would heat bricks on the stove so we could put them in the buggy to go to town or someplace to keep our feet warm. I had attended school in Toledo, and my parents didn't want me to go to a little one-room schoolhouse, so they wanted me to go to a parochial school in Toledo. I would have to walk about 2 miles and catch a public school bus, because at that time there were no school buses. Take the bus and then get off and walk another mile to the parochial school. Went on. I made my first communion. We didn't have a car to go to church, so we had a neighbor that had an automobile. So he took me and my parents to church in a car to make our first communion. The first vehicle we had was a Model T truck, which was a Ford, of course. It had chain drive, hard tires in the back, and a little kerosene lamps in the front for the headlights. I had gone at different times with my dad to the Toledo market to sell the produce. As Toledo expanded, the city came out, and we were about compelled to sell our land for expansion. So it was sold, and we moved to Michigan, to Monroe on North Macomb Street in 1925. And how we happened to arrive there was that my dad's brother-in-law had sold his parcel of land also and wanted to move to a small city. So we got on a streetcar, what they call the interurban car, that ran from Toledo to Detroit. In fact, the car barns where they repaired the streetcars was on Monroe Street, right across from St. Mary's School. In fact, it was there when I went there to school. So in 1925 is when we moved to North Macomb Street, and then I started attending school at St. Mary's in Monroe. There were still no school buses, and my dad bought me a bicycle, which cost $5, a used one at that time, and that's what I rode to school, winter and summer. Then, in 1928, I was in the sixth grade, and I remember looking out the window at St. Mary's School, and that was the big fire that the academy had. And it burnt down, and it started quite a commotion around there, so the sisters finally sent us home from school. We had just 3 acres in Monroe on North Macomb Street, and so we grew vegetables there, produce, and we delivered them to Monroe to them. At that time, they had a couple wholesale houses. Before I was old enough to get a driver's license, which I didn't get at that time at 14 years old, but before that, I would have to help my dad after school prepare the produce, wash carrots, or great tomatoes or whatever. And he had a very bad back that was in a cast, so I'd have to deliver the produce to Monroe with our Model T truck before I went to school. I know I used to kind of watch around the corner for the police, and when I didn't see him, I'd take off and come home and then go to school. So then in 1929, they had the big stock market crash. Some of the banks closed, and then Franklin Roosevelt was elected president, and he declared what they called a bank holiday. So he closed all the banks. Some of them reopened, and you just couldn't get your money. There wasn't any money to be gotten. I remember that my dad had a little money in savings and loan in Monroe, which at that time was located on Washington Street, and they would allow you to get $18 a month out of savings. That was your own money. That's all you could get. So every month I had to go to Monroe and get the $18 from my dad from the bank. Then things were pretty rough, and there wasn't any money being made anymore, or not enough on the 3 acres. And so we had to get more land. At the time, the property was sold in Toledo. They could either get their full amount of cash, or they could take any amount of cash and the rest in bonds backed by the property that was sold. Well, they had tore all the buildings down, graded the roads, graded the land for roads, and then that's when the depression hit. So they did not pay any more on the bonds, and the bonds was only worth about 12 cents on the dollar. So we had to do something. So there was 26 acres on Stewart Road that the Desert State Bank had a mortgage on, which the people who lived there defaulted on and couldn't pay for. And my dad had a little money in the Desert Bank. So he bargained with them to trade in our 3 acres toward the 26 acres in house and barn. The bank, thinking it would be easier to sell a small parcel, traded with my dad. So then we had to move, and my dad was in a cast, and that year is when I just started high school. So in April I had to take off. We couldn't afford to hire anyone to move or anything else, so I had to stay home and move over on Stewart Road. And I just never had a chance to go back to school. That was the extent of my schooling. I had to go to work and work the farm because my dad couldn't. So then we truck gardened over there, and I started going to the Detroit Eastern Market at age 15. I've been going ever since. These bonds that my dad took for the property in Toledo, he didn't like to owe any money on a farm or on a house. So at that time, the value of them got up to 15 cents on a dollar. So my dad sold all the bonds he had to straighten up for the cost of the farm that we had bought. My dad had a sister and brother-in-law that sold some property to the same corporation. They just took the money enough to make a down payment on a farm, and they were getting 6% interest, and they were paying 6% interest. And then the Depression hit, and they didn't receive any more money from the sale. And if it hadn't been for their children going to work in the city, they would have lost their farm. But my dad, when he sold and bought the one in Michigan, he took enough bonds out for enough cash to pay for the house that we lived in. I was going to market then, and then I got old enough, I thought I wanted to buy a car. So the first car I bought was a Model T, and I paid $15 for it. A new Model T at that time, you could buy for approximately $400. At that time, we had high school people working for us, and the going wage was 10 cents an hour. They worked 10 hours a day, so they received a dollar a day when they were lined up to get a job. And going to market, I met my wife Leona in about 1935. We got married in 1938. So April 23rd will be our 50th wedding anniversary. I will say 50 happy married years. We have 6 children and 6 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. Then we moved to our present location in Carlton in 1939. It was a 90-acre farm, and we built one small greenhouse on it to grow our vegetable plants. And as business expanded, we purchased more land to over 500 acres. And as the years went on, we built more greenhouses until at the present time we have 10 acres. The children all helped us as the years went on, went to school, the parochial school, and they all helped us. And that's why we expanded the business. I wanted to say that I did have one sister, and I guess I said we had one sister. I had one sister, but she married Merle Roscoe from Ottawa Lake, and they are both still living. As the years went on, the boys grew up, and at the present time I have 2 boys that are running the business now. And I would say that the biggest change in my lifetime is we went from horse and buggy to streetcars, to automobiles, to buses, to airplanes, landing on the moon. I think the next generation, there will probably be more advancement in technology.
Okay, can you remember about when, like, you got your first tractor? Or, like, what that would have cost?
Yes. No, wait a minute. First tractor? Bought in about 1932. It wasn't a new one, it was a used one. If I remember, we bought it for about $400.
Can you remember how you celebrate any of your holidays, like Christmas or?
Well, holidays were celebrated at home.
Did you ever go on vacations any place, or were you pretty much limited to staying at home and working on the farm?
Never had a vacation until about 15 years ago. All we did was work. When I was young and lived on Macomb Street, I'll never forget. There was a ball diamond kitty corn across the street, and the neighbor boys would go over there and play, and I didn't want to go over there and play ball. And my dad would say, no, if you go and play ball tonight, you'll be too tired to work tomorrow. So I made myself a promise at that time that if I ever had any boys and they wanted to play ball, they'd be able to play. Well, I kind of ate those words several times, but I lived up to it. When the boys wanted to go play, they played, but they come home and they finished their work then. I might add a little more about in the Depression, about the banks closing and not being able to get your money. There's several people that lost 80% of their money. Some of the banks only paid out about 20% of what was deposited in the banks. They had made loans that was, after the Depression hit, the homes were not worth half what they were when they made the loan on them. And several people that had loans on houses let them go back and went and bought other houses for half the money that they owed on the present one they had. Everything got down to nobody had any money. Nobody was working, or very few people was working.
What kind of social life did you have? Did you associate just with your own family or neighbors, or what did you do for entertainment? Anything?
Well, when I was real young, about the only thing we did was visit a relation. It's about all we ever did.
Did you play cards or music or any type of square dancing or?
Well, in the Depression, there was a neighbor that played a violin. So every Saturday night, they'd go to a different house, and he would play the violin. They'd roll the carpet up if there was a carpet, and they'd have square dances. And, of course, we also, some people played cards, too. But that was the entertainment. It didn't cost any money. Everybody would bring a little dish to pass and cash, and they would have lunch, and that was the entertainment. It's all anyone could afford. And they did have shows at that time. I can remember going back and going to beg my parents for 10 cents so I could go to the Sunday afternoon show, but that's what it cost, was 10 cents to go to the show.
Do you remember when you first started going to market, like how long it would take to get there, or when you'd start out, or kind of the prices they were getting back then, or what crops you had?
We had mostly all the rest of the crops, tomatoes, potatoes, corn, cabbage, peppers. When we first started going, it used to take about 2.5 hours to go to Detroit. I'll never forget the first time that I went to market. I was never in Detroit. I didn't even know where I was going. So there was a lot of other growers going to the market, and I would see a truck that looked like it was a truck partner's truck, I'd follow it. So the first time I followed it, I ended up to Eastern Market. And at that time, there was two markets. There was an Eastern and a Western. But the first time I followed the truck, I ended up to the Eastern Market. Then the next time I followed another truck, and I said, well, I'm going to put down every road I turn on. So I ended up to the Western Market that time. But anyway, so I did go to the Western Market for a few years, which probably was a good thing because that's where I met my wife, on the Western Market. So it was a good thing I ended up there anyway. But then I went there for a few years, and the Western Market was torn down for an expressway for 75, and then I went to the Eastern Market. So I've gone to the Eastern Market for good many years.
And what was your wife doing at Eastern at the market?
Well, she lived in the city of Detroit, but she had an uncle that lived in the country out by Wayne, out that way, Inkster. And in the summertime, she would go out and stay with her aunt and uncle, and she would work on the farm with them, and then she would go to market with her uncle. So that's how I had met her on the market.
And what kind of things did they grow on their farm?
Well, principally grapes is about all they had was grapes. So we used to throw grapes back and forth sometimes on the market.
During the Depression, because you were on a farm, do you think it was easier for you being on a farm that you had more things than other people, or was it harder?
Well, there's one thing, we always had work. Sometimes we didn't have much money, but we always had work, and we always had enough to eat. At that time, you would grow your own hogs, you'd have your pork, sometimes beef, you had your own chicken, you had your own eggs, cow, you had your own butter. So you always ate anyway, never got hungry.
And you did all your own butchering then?
Yeah, we did our own butchering. Well, the neighbors would get together and butcher a hog or beef or whatever. But my job every Saturday was to kill a chicken. We'd have chicken on Sunday. I'd have to dress the chicken and kill it and dress it. And my mother would clean it out and roast it the next day.
What made you decide to get out of that kind of farming and go into the flower gardening and greenhouses that you have mostly now?
Well, we had a few greenhouses, and then in the Second World War, they had what they called victory gardens, and they wanted people to plant gardens. So we were doing business with a chain store in Detroit on vegetables, and they decided to open some garden centers. So they asked if I'd grow some vegetable plants to sell in their garden center for these gardens. And so we did, and then we got into the, started to grow some flower plants with them. Then, of course, things went on, and then they decided to get out of the garden center business, and there was another large chain, second in the country, started, and the buyer for him from them asked the buyer that I was selling to for a dependable person to buy plants from, and so he introduced me to him, and we've been selling to him, which is Kmart Corporation. We've been selling to him ever since the first Kmart, which is about 22 or 23 years now. So they expanded very rapidly, and then we tried to expand that fast, but we couldn't keep up with them. But that is one reason why we have as many greenhouses as we have. As I said before, we've got 10 acres in greenhouses now, and it was getting too much to truck garden and take care of it properly, and also the greenhouses. So So we quit the truck gardening, and then we just farmed it for a few years and the land, and now we don't even farm it, we lease it out. So all we do is just the greenhouses, which is a full-time occupation.
What was your first impression of Monroe when you came here? Do you remember anything? Moving from Toledo, the big city, into...
Well, of course, we didn't live in the city of Toledo. We lived in the country. But Monroe was a small town, and at that time, everything was done on Saturday nights. Everybody went shopping. Everybody went to Monroe on Saturday night. And, well, I know when I was real young and had a car or a neighbor's car, everybody went to Monroe and they'd keep riding around the block. You would take you 20 minutes to go around the block in Monroe because everybody went to town. That was the big thing. Everybody went shopping. Everybody went to town for one reason or another. Nothing else, just to visit with other people.
Do you remember back when you first had electricity, or did you always have it?
No, we didn't always have it. When we were in Toledo, we had lamps. Lamps on the table. I can remember also when I went to school, my parents grew green onions, which they would have early in the spring, and they had what they call a rhubarb house. They would have rhubarb. So they would clean onions and pull rhubarb, and at night when we got home from school and got our homework done, the onions was all placed on the kitchen table. We had a bunch of them. You had to put 9 in a bunch, 4 of those bunches into 1. And several times those onions would make us cry, and all my parents would say is, don't rub it, just keep on working. It'll be all right. But then later they come out with what they call a ductal system for lights. It was run, it was several storage batteries, and it was a gasoline motor that was run and charged these batteries, and you had to run them every day, the motors to generate the juice to charge the batteries, and then that's what you had your electricity from, was from these batteries. And as far as plumbing, there was no inside plumbing whatsoever. Regardless of winter or summer, you went outside. And you didn't spend much time out in the wintertime. You got right back in. And even when we moved to out here to Carlton, the house did not have a furnace in or a bathroom. That was the first thing we did. It had a potbelly stove. I'll never forget. We used to start the stove and sit around the stove and try and keep warm. But then we installed a furnace and we installed inside plumbing and made it a little bit more modern. But everything changes as time goes on, even farming. So many things was done by hand, and now it's done mechanically. Larger tools, and just work more acres in order to make a living.
Did you have back then, did they have like fertilizer and stuff, or is that just something that was more recent?
Well, way back when I was real young, well, they hardly had any fertilizer because you had livestock and you spread that in the field and that was your fertilizer. But then as time went on, they produced fertilizer.
And what about your chemicals, your insecticides and the other things?
Well, way back, you weren't hardly bothered with insects or so forth. But as years went on, more problems kept arising every year with insects, and so there was insecticides developed to take care of this one and that one and the other one. And you'd about get those under control, and then a new one would come along, and they'd have to get a different type of insecticide to take care of that new bug. So that's the way it's been ever since.
What about the women in your family, like your sister now? Did she finish school, or was she responsible to do the same kind of work on the farm, or?
No, she didn't want any. Well, when we were real small in Plato, yeah, she had to help around the table, same as I did. But when we moved to Michigan, she graduated from St. Mary Academy, and then she went to business school in Monroe, and she graduated from St. Mary Academy High School, then went to business school, and then she got a job in Monroe. She had worked for the Abstract Company for a while, and then at that time there was a Hurt Sterling Company, and she had worked for them until she got married.
So then she really wasn't involved on the farm?
No. No. Well, and we, just before we got married, my mother died. She died when I was 20 years old. So my sister and her husband lived with us for a short period of time, and then he got a job in Erie as a meat cutter. So they moved to Erie, and my dad and I, we batched it then. We'd go out in the field and work all day, and then you'd come in the house, and then you'd have to cook your meal. So that didn't go too good either. So I really did appreciate getting a good wife that did get along with my dad, and we had a good cook, and we had meals on time when we should have had them.
Do you remember anything about, like, with the radio or the TV when that was kind of coming in?
Well, I can remember before radio ever came. First they had some earphones they put on, and then the first radio we had was it was battery. It was semi-battery. It was run by battery, but then you'd charge it up at night for the next day, and then they come out with all-electric radios, and then later televisions come out. I had purchased one. My dad had his leg amputated. He was in Ann Arbor Hospital for 3 weeks, and I went up there every day to see him. And at the same time, I think you were born, and Leona was in Monroe, and I'd go see her in the afternoon, see my dad at night. So anyway, he always liked horses from young on, because he was brought up with them. So I bought a television set, and at that time, there wasn't even a national hookup yet. All he could get was Toledo and Detroit station, but shortly after they had a national hookup, but